This is Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matter. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The only way to find true security is by following your calling and then finding or creating work that matches your passion. Dan Miller's new book, No More Mondays, addresses people looking for guidance on how to launch a new career or business, or those who want to bring inspiration to their current jobs. For all of them, Dan Miller's message is loud and clear. If you're one of those people who dreads going to work on Mondays, do something about it. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Dave. Been looking forward to being your guest.
Dan, your new book is entitled No More Mondays. What's so bad about Monday?
You know, I just loved playing on the negative stigma that we've allowed Mondays to have. It doesn't need to be that way. I mean, I'm sitting right here in the heart of country music. The number of songs that have been written about Mondays or the distaste of work is phenomenal. And I want to help erase some of that stigma. If you're doing work that is fulfilling, productive, and profitable, Monday can be just as enjoyable as Friday.
Dan, you say that discontent in one's job may not be such a bad thing. How so?
It ought to be seen as a motivator to do something. Recognizing there are limitless opportunities if you're discontented and it's a recurring theme, why not take that as a red flag? Hey, I need to look at some new opportunities. You know, I have spiritual people who describe how much they hate their work. They got headaches, migraines, ulcers, back pain, all those horrible, horrible red flags about stress in their lives. And they say, gee, I just wish God would give me a sign about what I'm supposed to do. Good grief. What else does he have to do to get your attention? Thomas Edison said discontent is the first seed of opportunity. It should move you forward. Take those red flags and discontent. And then sit down and ask yourself, what could I do that would be fulfilling, productive, and profitable, and move into that.
Dan, the word and the concept of stress seems to be ubiquitous in our modern working world. It seems like everybody's got a BlackBerry crazy glued to their hand or a cell phone pasted to their ear, and there's no downtime. I commute an hour on a train every day, and the number of laptops that are open and the number of people who are BlackBerry is unbelievable. How does this stress affect our work and our lives?
It absolutely requires that we set boundaries. Because we no longer leave our work at the office at 5 o'clock, you can have access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you don't set boundaries, work can consume you. And that's another reason why people are feeling so much stress connected with their work. They think work is something that they dread, but some of them simply have not created boundaries, and they've allowed work to consume their lives. And any time you go over that 40, 50-hour-a-week mark, you're going to start borrowing from the success in other areas of your life. And when people experience that, they say, ouch. But what often happens is they say, okay, my work stinks. It's draining the life out of me. I need to quit and find a new job. Guess what? 6 months later, they're in the same pattern. It's those habits that they take with them. It may not even be the work specifically that they're doing.
We live in an age almost like the age of disillusionment. Comic strips like Dilbert have never been so popular. Week in, week out, stuff like that is about how phony everybody is or how noncommittal everybody is and how you can't take leadership or management seriously. And everybody's sort of very mercenary and watching out for themselves, whereas a book like yours can be very inspirational. Do you just tackle that disillusionment head on, or do you try to go in through the back door?
I tackle it head on. As you notice from No More Mondays, I use a lot of cartoons in there. The Dilbert cartoons are so hilarious because they are so absolutely dead-on accurate. That's why it strikes a chord in us. I love that. I love dealing head-on with the angst, the disillusionment that people have connected with their work. It doesn't have to be just serious academic, logical process. Let's have fun with it. But in that having fun with it, let's tap into those things that you really enjoy, are passionate about. Let's embrace those. This is not just an analytical, logical process by any means. If it were, we'd all just figure it out and move in. No, it's very individualized, very personalized. I've helped people walk through transitions where they're doing the most unordinary, unexpected, impractical, unrealistic things you can imagine and simply knocking it out of the park in doing so.
Dan, the format of your book, it's this really interesting collage-like collection of quotes and cartoons, stories, anecdotes. What has been the response to that type of format?
It's been extremely positive. We know that the average person doesn't sit down with 240 pages of text. I purposely try to have a call out, either a quotation or a little anecdote in reverse print or a cartoon every 100 words. That's my goal as a writer, because if we're going to get people engaged and keep them engaged, we've got to give them those things. So that's really just a writing technique. Now, I happen to enjoy that kind of format myself, but that's been extremely well received. And I've seen other books that have great content, valid concepts presented, but don't do well because it's too textbookish. I mean, there are people out there like Ken Blanchard says he'll never write another traditional length book again. They're all going to be the one-minute manager kind of format. People like my buddy Seth Godin, who writes his little book, The Dip Factor, 70 pages long. I love those kind of things. I mean, if we can really inspire people, motivate them, help them go to new higher levels of success in 70 pages, there's nothing sacred about 240 in a traditional trade book.
In your book, you give a new definition of the word risk. How do you view risk?
Risk, as we normally think about it, implies having no control. So if you go to Las Vegas and you put the title to your car down on a roll of the dice, that's risky because we're just depending on circumstances or luck or fate to determine the outcome. I would never recommend that. And if you go into the workplace or start a business with that kind of mentality, you're really putting yourself in a vulnerable position. But if you look at yourself, understand clearly what your areas of competence are, create a carefully laid out plan of action, see the projections, move into that, that's not risky. And a lot of people think they're avoiding risk by staying with major companies, as an example. The 74,000 employees at General Motors who just got notification that here's a bonus, we hope you go away, they thought they were secure. They thought there was no risk. And certainly to go out and start a yard mowing service or to buy a franchise would be risky. Well, perhaps not. Maybe we've seen it in the reverse from what reality is. To stay in something and hoping that you can keep it the same as it was last year is probably risky. To move into something that you know fits you, that you really enjoy, we have just reduced risk dramatically. So I call it seizing a new opportunity or moving to a higher level of success, not risk.
We had a guest a couple weeks ago, Charles Handy, the well-known and highly regarded UK business philosopher, thinker. I'm struck by one of the things he said, and I just want to bounce an idea off you here. And that's, I look at your book, and it's very positive. I wonder how many people would look at it and go, oh, great, what the world needs, another feel-good, pick-me-up type of thing. But something that Charles Handy mentioned to me was sort of like, you know what, the times for you to consider things like job changes or life changes are when you are in that positive mood, not when you've bottomed out, but when you've got energy that allows you to make that jump. Does something like that work for you as well?
Absolutely. You'll notice the subtitle of No More Mondays is Fire Yourself. Why would I put that in there? Well, my experience is that when people are fired, I yesterday had a client who, after 26 years, was notified that the end of March is the end of his work. He's now required to train his replacement, a man at less than half his salary. Now, the knee-jerk reaction to that always is, oh my gosh, I got to turn in my leased car, give up my golf club membership, take the kids out of private school, and we need to cut our living expenses dramatically. But when we really look at what the options are, almost without exception, 18 months later, I run into those people and they say, you know what, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. Because it forced me to look at what my opportunities were now, where I really had blinders on, just going one day after the day the same. So if that's really true, then my encouragement is, why would you wait until circumstances force you to be in a position of desperation? Take the initiative now. Draw that proverbial line in the sand. You don't need to burn any bridges at all. You don't need to change anything. But at least think through the process, what are my best options? Where are my greatest opportunities? I had a gentleman recently that I worked with who, 44 years old, one of the first things he said when he walked into my office, he said, Dan, I'm tired of living my life based on the decisions that were made by an 18-year-old. What a great way to frame that. So what Charles Handy is saying, I agree with totally. when you're in a position of strength, you see clear. You're more creative. You have more energy and more imagination coming through than when you're in a position of desperation.
It's almost counterintuitive. I think he sums it up with, almost ironically, the best time to make a jump or a move is when everything is going right.
I agree. I see what happens when people feel like they're backed into a corner. They make short-term decisions and decisions that oftentimes don't carry them really to a higher level of success, but they're just Band-Aid solutions.
Let's talk about that a little bit in terms of the big changes people have to go through, at least professionally, when they undertake a job search. One of the things you spend some time on is that people understand and appreciate their talents before they enter a job search. Can't these people simply just move toward an attractive job and then sort of get trained on the job?
Not very successfully. If you just move toward where you know they're a job opening, hope they give you a chance to do that and train you as you go, you're going to find yourself at the bottom of the barrel in terms of job opportunities and also in terms of economic opportunities. If you first identify what is it that I have as my highest areas of competence, you know you can not only describe them but verify them in past performance. You can walk in with your head held high, confident, bold, enthusiastic, and you're going to have a greatly increased negotiation point as compared to just going in your hands and knees begging, hoping somebody will give you a job. We have to understand it just doesn't work well that way. And people that just think that they're going to go out here or that the world owes them a living or a company owes them an opportunity, we're going to find them in the $10, $12 an hour opportunities. We aren't going to have them stumble onto $250,000 opportunity.
Dan, we may be headed into a recession. I'm just wondering, given what you know now about that economic sort of path we're on perhaps, and what you've written in your book, do you remain optimistic? Should people in general remain optimistic?
Absolutely. I've never seen it easier to start your own venture. When we talked about starting something on your own a few years ago, it was bricks and mortar. So if you want to do a bowling alley, a hardware store, a restaurant, it takes a tremendous amount of capital to get started. Today, we have ideas that are based on service, information, technology, where you can start for virtually nothing and just go with it. So there's opportunities for anybody to move into a creative area that really embraces what they want to do. Now, let me come in on the recession thing. We hear that a lot. I am asked about that every day. Recession is a political and economic term. We hear it batted about in Washington, D.C., but it's like henny penny, the sky is falling. What does that really mean when it comes down to the opportunities for Dave or Doug or Dan? We can't even get our hands around that. And I tell people, your chances for success are going to be determined not by what happens in the White House, but by what happens in your house.
We'd like to thank our guest on today's program. The name of the book is No More Mondays, and the author is Dan Miller. Dan, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure being with you.
Now it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website at www.amanet.org. Take it away, Kevin.
I'm visiting AMA seminar on interpersonal skills taught by Dr. Duffy Spencer.
I'm the marketing manager for an industrial manufacturing company. I'm here because I'd like to learn more about how to work in conflict situations and resolve conflict in a much more productive manner. Important thing I got, especially the first day, was quit taking it personally, because we take too much baggage home with us and we think about things and it's not going to make us feel better about the situation or move forward very easily. I think I have a better understanding of my personality type, my work style approach, as well as understanding probably better the approaches of my coworkers and supervisors. I have a new toolbox of techniques that I can use to apply to certain situations, and knowing that one tool or technique is not appropriate for every single situation. And I think just the conflict resolutions can be much better because I work with a very diverse and dynamic workforce, so I need to adapt to the situation. And also, hopefully, share some techniques with my coworkers who can use those techniques as well.
I work in the aviation industry. As a guy in basic society, you usually don't express feelings that way and stuff like that. So you kind of talk about your frustrations a little bit. You kind of get them off your chest. Conflicts you've had here and there in the past, how you're going to work through them in the future. So yeah, it's a little strange. You feel a little bit like you're in an AA meeting or something, like you're waiting for somebody to kind of start crying about a situation or something a little bit.
Hello, I'm Dr. Duffy Spencer, and one of the courses I facilitate is interpersonal skills. Managers, by definition, have to be assertive. That's part of your job. You must assert the rights of the company while you're paying attention to the rights of the employees. And you're an employee, and you have rights as well. So you're always in this kind of three-way play. A lot of it has to do with emotional intelligence, which is being aware of your own emotions first, your own thoughts, what is your own self-talk. And then from there, from having contact with yourself, you have contact with others. You speak up to others based upon what you're aware of inside of yourself. If you're not assertive, pull up your responsiveness first. That can be a little easier. Be more responsive to other people, and then it's easier to be assertive as well.
Duffy's a very, very inspirational person. She explains things very well. A certain word or your vocal tone can change dramatically how a conversation is perceived. It's a good experience, and I recommend it to try to use it in your personal life, too. It'll probably help out in a lot of deals. It's like marriages and having children and stuff like that. It'll help that out, too.
It would be great to hear your feedback on this program, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.